It is 6:45. I'm Robert Palacios with KRWG News. While in El Paso, just before the November elections, author and award-winning journalist Richard Parker, op-ed contributor for the New York Times, came to Las Cruces for an interview with Emily Guerra to talk about immigration.
Illegal immigrations across the U.S.-Mexico border was measured in the millions 25 years ago. Now we're talking about it being measured in the tens of thousands, okay, on an annual basis, 48,000 apprehensions in a given reporting period, etc. In my view, there is no widespread border crisis. What we have is a large number of people fleeing Central America who are families. They bring with them wives and children. Sometimes these wives and children travel alone. Our laws are very well suited to deal with repatriating young men who cross illegally. We've got that part down. Our laws are not particularly well geared to dealing with groups of women and children and families. They were just never designed that way. If there's a hole in the law, that's probably what it is. But it's not a widespread crisis. There are no widespread troop mobilizations from Fort Bliss. Only a couple of hundred support folks in a very supporting role are going. And the people who you read about or see on television coming through Mexico won't be here for some time. I think this is all a matter of putting things into perspective and into context. There's nothing here to be alarmed about, as most of us who live on the border or have lived on the border know. Sure, this issue of illegal immigration is a problem that it constantly needs solving. Is it a real crisis? In my opinion, no.
But a lot of people have misconceptions that the people are coming from Mexico. They're coming through Mexico from Central America.
That's correct. What we've seen in the last few years is that the net inflow of Mexicans arriving illegally has stopped and reversed itself. The great sort of Mexican diaspora that took place, in which large numbers of Mexicans did move to the United States, already took place. It took place 25 years ago. The horse has left the barn on that one. And that's why we have a large and flourishing and contributing Mexican population throughout the United States, not just in the Southwest. That problem doesn't exist anymore. We've absorbed that, and it's done fairly well. There's a number of studies that show that immigrants who've come have done better economically generation to generation. They've become more educated with time, and also they're basically net contributors to their economies. Now, do large influxes of very poor people with low education levels who are fleeing violence and desperate for work pose a challenge? Sure, an immediate challenge.
And what challenges are those?
Well, those are, what do we do with them under the law? Do we send them all back to their countries of origin? How do we process them? Because we don't have enough immigration judges and immigration courts. So the first is, how do we treat them fairly? The second is a moral challenge. How do we treat them humanely? That gets into our own personal ethics and religious values and just kind of who we are in terms of welcoming the stranger. And then the third issue ultimately is practical, because the law isn't situated to handle families or children. Do we need to change that law? Should we change the accommodations? Do we need to put children in detention camps alone? Can we house them with families? Can we do this in a more humane way and still enforce the law?
And is this a question for the entire border from California to Texas, or is this specific to this area?
It's actually a question for, really, right now, a very small stretch of the Texas border, 800 miles from here. It really doesn't affect us in this area very much at all. The average apprehension of a Border Patrol agent, a number of apprehensions per year in the El Paso sector, is very, very low. The Border Patrol has 50,000 people. It is the largest uniformed police service in the federal government or in the United States, period. It's bigger than the FBI. So is there a challenge? Sure. What do you do with these people? They will arrive like others have before them in McAllen and down in the Rio Grande Valley. As I informed one of my editors in Washington, who was surprised, that's 800 miles away.
So we're not looking for them to be transforming America, as your book has, The Lone Star Nation, How Texas Will Transform America. These immigrants won't be transforming America right away.
No, they will add to a large and growing Latino population, assuming that they do stay, or some number of them do. But in terms of the numbers, it's a drop in the bucket. Even if 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 stayed in the United States, It's a tiny, almost immeasurable amount of the Latino population of the United States, which is, in fact, having a transformative effect on this country. In my view, America is a Latino nation and is becoming only more so every single passing day. Just next door in Texas, Hispanics already are the largest ethnic group in a state of 28 million people. It's not tomorrow, it's not 2020, not 2050. It's here, it's now. And so in many ways, America is going to look a lot more like Las Cruces, New Mexico, than any place else.
The entire interview with Richard Parker can be heard on Fronteras this Saturday at 5 p.m. on KRWG-FM, online at krwg.org, and on Facebook. To listen, just click on Puentes at our news tab.